Hello, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. How are you getting on? This week's guest is called Tony Cantwell. If you haven't heard of Tony Cantwell, well, you're in the minority because he's after selling out the Sugar Club twice in a matter of hours there yesterday. He's a Snapchat comedian. He's actually a comedian. I've seen him do stand-up comedy and he's doing really well. I think he's really funny, especially in this podcast, and I was delighted to have him on the show. Have a listen. This is the
Please give it up for Mr. Tony Cantwell, everybody.
Hello. How's it going? Sure.
I broke my bra today.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, feel it here. Well, no, don't.
Is it one of your good bras?
Yeah. No, but it was an old and gold one. Do you know, like, I'll miss it. It's one of those. It's kind of stabbing me.
Oh God!
A bit, but it's fine. It's the.
Well, look. Huh? I mean, you
take
know.
Take it off.
Yeah, you know.
I feel uncomfortable.
I'll put it on. And just you be comfortable, and I'll stab me.
Wait there. No. It's like I feel that I was trying to think of a joke about broken bras, that like. Old bras are like relationships, you know.
Yeah.
At first, they're all like, oh, hold your tits all the time. And then years and years after, it slowly stabs you to the, on the side. So if there's something in there.
Yeah, there is.
No, it's grand now. It's good. So, Tony, tell me now. No, we're grand.
No. We got like a couple of serviettes or something.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, good idea. I'll just get the T-shirt and I'll
use
as a barrier. As a barrier. Wait there.
And I can just stab myself so that we're on the same kind of level here.
No, that feels good now. That feels good.
Perfect.
Okay. Brilliant. Now I'm ready. You wouldn't have this problem with Tuberty. My bra is stabbing me.
Which, you know, I met Ryan Tuberty at the Young Scientist exhibition back when he was a little blow-in. Now he's top was shit. And I didn't know, I wanted him to sign something because I was an absolute autograph hound.
And, really?
Yeah. So I gave him a copy of A Clockwork Orange and he was all like, do you know that's my favorite book? Yeah, right, it's his favorite book. But yeah, he signed it. But he also wrote like Milky Woo or whatever the terminology was. I didn't read it. I just had it. Just trying to be cool. You know, you're 16. Well, I have A Clockwork Orange in my bag. Never read it, but
in case of emergencies.
Yeah, or in case I'm left alone with a girl and I desperately need to impress her. That was the idea, but it didn't work.
Who else have you? I have Samantha Mumba's autograph.
No way.
Yeah, I went to Mullingar to meet her. One, she did a gig.
You just went there to meet her.
I love her so much. She had a number two with a cherished number two. Making this sound. Gotta tell you, it was a UK number two.
Yeah, yeah.
It got beaten by Kylie Minogue spinning around, which I felt was unlucky at that stage.
And it's funny, that was spinning around when she does a big massive front flip in Gotta Tell You. She does a big front flip out of her front window, Samantha Mumba.
Oh, she does? Yeah. Is that her, though?
I don't know. It didn't really look like her. It was moving very fast, and she gets up and just does the ponytail.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God, I love her so much. but who else do you have as an autograph?
I have Pat Kenny. So we used to just hang around RTE. So if you could get like tickets for like RTE shows, they used to give you like loads of free wine.
Yeah.
So that's just what we would do. We would just like go to anything like Podge and Raj. We went to Frontline about three times with Pat Kenny.
Do you get much free wine at Frontline?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah. But we were sitting there, we were in one episode of Frontline, and there was some chap given out to Pat or whatever. And I had this whole thing planned, right? I had this whole thing planned. I was sitting next to my friend Joe, and I had this whole thing planned where I was going to, like, ask a question, and had nothing to do with what they were talking about. And I was going to say, look, you're all talking about all this and that, but what about when me and my partner get married? And I was going to squeeze his leg.
Yeah.
To make a very juvenile gay thing, gay kind of joke.
And the mid-2000s.
Of course, you know. But then Pat Kenny says, I tell you, it'll be a long time before you guys get married. And the crowd just went, oh! And it just went to a bit of a deathly silence. And then after the show, his like assistant ran over to us and was like, look, really sorry about what Pat did. Look, he'd like to invite you up to the green room and have a load of drinks. So,
oh mate,
we fucking rinsed him out of drinks. We were making up drinks on the spot. We had like gin and coke. We called them jokes. Yeah, give us a few more jokes there, please. Give us a few more gerange. Gin and orange.
Oh my god.
And then a few of us just got sick on his steps, and we left. We were trying to get him out. We were trying to get him out to Lily's Bordello. Yeah. We were all like, Pat, you got to come out to Lily's. Like, look, I got to do the radio show in the morning. And I can't. You know, I was like, ah, dry shite.
You should have went homophobe.
Yeah. And it was with my girlfriend at the time, and I got drunk and I was trying to kiss her. No, part of this ruse is that you're gay, so you have to stay gay so that we can be up here.
Yeah. Well, as if like Kenny was like, you're not gay.
Yeah. I can offend you. Get out of here.
I'm not sorry at all. Yeah. You're the homophobic one. You were the one making the homophobic joke. I was simply stating an opinion, you know.
The common opinion at the time. Which has changed. That was only about 5 years after referendum. So beautiful times.
Amazing. So do you live near RT?
No, not at all. You should just travel out there, and then we'd go into town when the legal head shops were around.
I do, yeah.
So we get buzzed on RT, then we go to legal head shops and just buy all those legal joints that you could buy. But you had to ask for an incense stick. So
really?
You'd be like, three incense sticks there, please. I'm going to have a nice bath or whatever.
But it just seems like that's what a kid would smoke, would be an incense stick.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So they have access, they're like Cruella de Vil with their mother's incense sticks.
This long thing burning their legs as it goes.
Oh, guys, I got a hot rock. Do you remember in secondary school when hot rocks were the ultimate thing? And it's like, you're just damaging your clothes. You're just...
Just put a nice little mat over you.
Yeah. Why do you want to damage your school uniform, Siobhan? What are you trying to prove? Oh, man. Head shops, that was... do you remember, there's some parts of Ireland where it lasted for 2 years and it feels like it was such a weird time.
Yeah.
Head shops, I was staying over in someone's house on Capel Street once when I was living in Westmead, and a head shop went on fire across the road. And
Nirvana was the name of it, yeah.
That's it, yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. No, but it was like a gangland thing. Like, proper gangland. Like, we used to go to the head shop that was beside Wax. It's not called Wax now. Where is it? Where was Wax? South William Street.
There was a head shop on South William Street.
Where
Tropical Popical is now.
Honestly, it was just across the road, but they had like a little hatch, like a little wooden hatch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really open. They would just deal stuff out of the hatch. But there'd be people next door being like, yeah, don't buy that. I can sell it to you for €80. And they'd be like, no, man, this is not going to compete. But like proper gangs were like getting involved and trying to shut it down.
So they were angry with the head shops because they had actual drugs.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Actual drugs that were five times the cost. And they were just kind of, sorry, I feel like I'm coming across as a real fucking...
No, because it's like a...
From what I heard, I read Vice magazine, and I've heard...
I was doing a report for Vice at the time. It's like
I put on a Carhartt hat, and I read Vice magazine. That's how I get my knowledge.
Yeah, he's like wearing a big cowboy hat with a camera in the front, like Homer Simpson.
And as soon as Alison admits that she went to the head shops as well, then I have my story.
I went when the head shops were closing down. Do you remember there was like a closing down? And it was like a fire sale or whatever.
Yeah. Because most of them have been set on fire. Yeah. Before we have a fire sale, then we need to get rid of all of our gear.
And they're just the grimmest places ever. Like as a shop, it's like glass. There's lots of glass covering. It felt like, do you know when you're in a rough place when the shops keep all the bars behind a protective plastic cover. Yeah. And you can't touch any of the products. Yeah, and that's what it was like. But I never actually took the drugs because I Googled them. And said it killed someone. And I was like, no, thank you, not today. I'm cracked.
But like, it's like, these bath salts. I'm just going to check this out. Man eats man's face in Florida.
I'm having second thoughts.
But was he listening to Tiesto at the time? Probably not.
I mean, they must be good, though. Like, you know, if you're looking at that risk assessment, you're like, you could eat someone's face or have the time of your life.
I do like a good gamble, me.
Yeah. Or do you remember Yolk Wednesday when the...
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I wasn't here for it. But I mean, did people...
man, it was a wonderful time.
Really?
It was a wonderful time. I went to the Turk's Head. And this... do you remember that? There was like a... Ooh, there's a party to celebrate this day. And this lad goes, I got a wrap for 20 euro. And I didn't ask him what... He was like, it's drugs. And I was like, okay. And I bought it, right? And he said, put it in your drink. You put it in your drink and you swill it around. But I looked at it. It was sugar. The man had sold me sugar for 20. I was like, I'm not meant to do drugs. like touched by an angel keeps preventing me from doing drugs. Just slapping it away. Jesus, take the wheel.
Sweeten up every drink.
Yeah.
Touch no drugs.
Yeah. And stevia. That's what you need. Get some stevia into your life. Stevia Wednesday. Do you remember when stevia went legal for one day? All the artificial sweeteners. Oh man. Well, because of a bad Irish translation where they were like shukra.
Yeah.
And it's like no.
Is that what it was?
No. It was due to translate, it was like a mistranslation in law, wasn't it? I didn't really pay attention to why it happened.
There wasn't enough time. There was only one day.
It was like one day, man. It would be a very good film, actually.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's my idea now. Don't do it. I'm joking. You can, but it was a. You were in London, were you at the time?
I was in London. There, I was in London for 7 years and missed the one day that I would have given it all up for.
I did. I did see a lad off his nut in Spar, just staring into an ice cream box. Do you know, like the way to keep the calippos?
Yeah.
And just pulling the blind back and then pulling it back again and going like that. And no one could do fuck off.
You're going to stifle me, man. Today, put my hand in the fridge.
I'll hold that calippo for as long as I like. I'm purchasing it. That's my calippo. You could take this calippo from my cold, dead hands. It would be cold. What was it like in London? London town.
Oh, I'll tell you now.
They have all the calippos over there, don't they?
The flavours, honestly. Tell your mammy, you wouldn't believe the flavours of calippo they have over there. You wouldn't believe.
I bet you still had the calippo shots over there. Do you remember those little ice balls of flavour? And they used to melt. You can never eat the calippo shots quick enough to enjoy it in its full prime.
The shot at the end, yeah.
You just be shaking. And you're like, I've paid €1.40 for this. I'm getting my 20 cent worth now. Sorry. Go on.
So London, they did have the calippo shots. Now, they had all the things for far too long. But, yeah, I don't know. I went to London because I didn't really know what I was going to do. I was working in, like, retail. But then I thought, right, hang on. If I just go to London and work in retail, I can just tell everyone I'm in London. And that's mad cool. So I went there, and that's what I did for about 7 years.
You worked in retail?
Well, no, I did that. I worked in retail for about 4 years, and then I worked in sales last 3 years. Got real, like, in the city, like sales in the city, you know.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
No, like shirts done up to 11 and like, you know, city boys and having the, you know, afternoon pints and stuff like that. Yeah. And I miss it. It was really nice. It was really good.
Did you sell?
I sold software. So something not very tangible at all. And you know, being Irish over there, honestly, like you just talk and people just like, oh God, oh, I love it.
Really? You know?
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, they really listen, especially now. You know, I mean, 20 years ago, you know, different story. But we're in like the sort of glory days, you know. Being like, oh, I love his little lilt. I love his little Irish lilt, you know.
Yeah.
And you could sell them anything.
And what about, I used to do sales too in England for 3 months. I used to sell boiler insurance.
Oh, yeah.
To people on the phone. So I had to call people and go, hello. I'll go through it. Hello, this is Alison talking to you from Company Redacted. how's your boiler at the moment? And they would be like, what? And they'd be like, well, have I got a product for you? And then, because your boiler, like, you can't tell them. You can't actually tell the people your boiler's going to blow up and kill your family, because that's illegal.
You can subtly hint.
Very subtly hint. you wouldn't want anything to happen to your family, would you? Like the mafia. They want some accident with the boiler. It was an intangible thing you were selling. Like, did you do this face to face or on the phone?
No, it was on the phone, but I did meetings. Mm-hmm. No, it was actually good. It was it was something that, because I always did jobs that I didn't want to be in any sort of attention for and any kind of spotlight for, and then this one was like kind of thrust into it and like doing like pitches and stuff like that. And then it actually helped when I was doing a bit of stand up over in London, because I had this I kind of had this theory that like you needed to be like really funny and like. It would be really funny to do stand-up. I still have that theory. But that
great theory.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, you have to be good at sports to be good at sports. No, it's not this theory that like joke writers would be better. But it's actually like people... I actually sometimes think that like almost like football managers would be better on an open mic night to be able to get people together than like a joke writer who had never really spoken in front of people before. So having that kind of experience of talking in front of people did actually give me a good bit of like... No, the worst thing can happen is nothing. You know, I'm just can talk to people. So that was quite beneficial and transferable.
So the stage, the sales kind of helped you in that way.
Yeah. It was quite good.
What about retail? Like, what kind of job were you working in retail?
I was the worst stock manager of Offspring shoes. Like, that's office shoes, but like Offspring are like new style brands and stuff like that. Like, they get like, you know, I don't know, whatever cool crossover editions or whatever of shoes. But like I managed the stock room. And I went in and it was like, you're working in a stock room before? And I was like, yeah, I hadn't. And then they just gave me the job. But like
you got the job of manager.
Yeah, stock room manager, because someone really wanted to get out of the stock room to get up and actually sell shoes on the sales floor. So I would like I get like a delivery of boxes and I had to put them away. And I would barely get about 8 or 9 boxes. I would barely put away one a day. And then everyone would end up just doing my job, and I was most despised. And then I got fired in a very long and drawn out process where, like, I was arriving late. I wasn't very good at my job for about a year, and I got like 3 warnings, and it was very. And then by the 3rd warning, they were like, "We have to let you go." And I was like, "What? What?" And I was like, "Are you serious?" And then you know,
I got kids.
Yeah, I got kids, man. Got kids. What do you think I'm over here for? I'm sending money back. MoneyGram back home.
Oh my God.
But it was the most drawn out, like ridiculous. But it was still like, I got sacked when I was like 23 and I was like, what? How could this happen to me?
So when did you start Snapchat?
Snapchat, I started in the sales job. And it's mad, like, because I actually probably had the least amount of time, but I would go into the Jacks and then just get on the old Snapchat to kind of like release that kind of side. I mean, it's a very, very high energy, high intensity. Like if you take like 25 minute break, very snubbed at, you're in there 8 to like, you know, 6:30 every day. So like I would take breaks just to pretend like I was off my nut on Snapchat and put that out. So it was kind of like very high energy, but it was the only real medium to do that kind of creativity at the time.
Did you ever have a Snapchat mishap?
Yeah. Well, not a massive one that would kind of spring to mind, but I've definitely like, you know, been Snapchatting just, you know, in the nip in the bed, but like doing the top up, and then all of a sudden it just hits down. I'm like, oh, and then I'm one tap away from sending it out. Haven't sent it out, but very close to multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. If the people demand it.
Listen, I was thinking, because I get a lot of people sending me snaps, you know, and no one, luckily, no one sends me nudes.
I've got a nude before.
Have you?
Yeah, from someone I didn't know.
Some woman you didn't know?
Some lad I didn't know. He took a picture of his dick in the bath, and then he was like, add me back. I was like...
The first one's for free.
I love that that's his opening gambit. You know, I wash, please add me. My personal hygiene. What's the weirdest snap you've ever got, actually?
I got a weird snap off some woman offering up. And she was like, she was in the club, like, with those people who've been like, how are you, Tony? Yeah, man, we were just thinking you should do a joke about the two on babies.
Oh, great. So that was the inspiration for your massive viral hit.
Yes. Just putting my face over, being like, oh, this just like, didn't happen.
Ploon. Anyone want a chewing baby? That's just being terrible.
Snack box, chewing baby. yeah, no, I didn't know. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, you know, do you ever get that? Do you ever get people giving you? I'm sure.
Oh,
Alison, I've got a great joke for you. Not me personally.
And it normally is racist.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, how did you think that was what? Yeah. Well, I'll just write that down, sir. You know? Yeah. It's normally like a taxi driver. He's like, yeah. Do you know who I don't find funny? And then he names a comedian. And then he'll go, have you been on the telly? where would you play now? Do you know I got a joke for you? And then it's like, beep, beep, beep. And I'm like, I want to get home. I gotta go like this. You know, if it was on Twitter, I'd call him out. But when you're in the back of someone's cab, you're like, no.
But you're like a, they're like punishers.
You're
like
dead right. They,
you know? But you're locked in.
Just here. Just
yeah. Anywhere here in the left hand.
Yeah. And then you made me sick.
Yeah, sprint.
3 stars. My taxi driver was really not funny.
You went for the real lowbrow stuff. But what frustrates me about the racist taxi drivers is a lot of the time you have to like be, you have to finish the sentences, you know. So you're like, do you know what I can't stand about these? And you're like, Black's Polish, you know. you have to finish the sentence. Like, yeah, these Polish, they're very like. Is that what, lazy? They're very hard working, stealing our jobs, and you're feeling in all these like things for them.
I love it if they just went, that's a, like, you know, you finished their sentence, and they're like, no, wasn't on about that at all. I was on about racists. That's who I was on about. I hate Nazis.
Yeah. Can you please get out of my car, 3 stars?
Yeah. Yeah, 3 stars. My customer was not funny.
I goaded him, but he just went the wrong way.
Can't win them all. So you do stand up comedy now.
I've started to try.
How long have you been doing it?
I did a bit in London and it didn't go very well. Well, just because I don't know. Well, it was my own insecurities, because you go up and you're trying to have to like. A lot of people will go up and be like, you know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, when did Bill Murray have sex with Jeff Goldblum? Because they look like a hybrid of those two people. You know, like, they do all those kind of jokes to, like, kind of, like, I know what you're thinking.
I love if they did. That would be great.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen anyone looking like that, by the way.
It never was. And it's like, what if they did have sex? What are you the product of? Who's giving birth there?
Just
like, what?
Yeah.
You know? In what world?
Just
imagine a world where two men can make a baby together. Yeah. That's me.
That's me.
Yeah. Oh, good. Sorry. That's sounding way worse than what it is. I forget there's people here.
Yeah,
and
you do.
You
tend
have
to.
Big talk.
Especially when we haven't made them laugh in a while. You just
I know. We've gone down a problematic route, though, in fairness. Like, I'd be sitting there going, you sound like you're going to be racist, Alison. Hold back.
3 stars.
Yeah. It's just like, because they don't know me that well either. You know? So it's like, yeah. I don't know what she really feels about this. You're great. So.
But what I found difficult was being Irish. I felt like you had to play up the Irishness. And if you're trying stand-up for the first time and you don't really know how to do stand-up,
yeah.
Like, you know, you just... you just keep bringing up the IRA, and it's not very funny, especially when you're not a deft hand at it. So like mine was like, I made some joke and it didn't go very well, and I'm like, and I tell you, if you don't find that funny, I'll get the IRA involved. And it was just like, it's just shite joke. Yeah. It's just a shite humor.
That sounds like a taxi driver joke. <you know? laughs> And if they don't find that funny, threaten them.
So that's well, that was just my own insecurities with it. But yeah. I was doing that. I was doing that for 3 years before I came back.
And yeah. You're back now. What brought you back?
I wasn't really doing anything over there. But also, just it felt like, you know, I missed it. I missed the old coastline, you know? The old coastline of Dublin.
Oh yeah, because Britain doesn't have a coastline.
No, not one in sight.
Landlocked.
yeah. that'd be their worst nightmare now. The Facebook page was taken off, and it was taken off quite well, and I was getting people actually asking me to do something for a change, rather than me hounding them. So just under the response of that, I wanted to come back, make the most of it.
What's the? Because you kind of blew up with the soft drinks.
Yeah.
Soft drinks.
Who the fuck saw that coming?
How? That's definitely improv, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like, so it was based like.
What were you on when you went?
I was a bit drunk, waiting for my girlfriend to come home, and in that I kind of like would drink before she get home. Like I had to, like I was being bullied or anything. But I was having a drink, and I was like I don't know, like just hyper from work drinks or whatever. But it was kind of based on an idea that I had, which is that posh kids have fucking bonkers names.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea I was actually going to do was like wear like a mounted camera and walk around like a house party and have a big thing where like I'd go in and be like, you know, Fikra, man, what's going on? You know, fucking Nightshade, what's going on, brother?
Nightshade?
But I was going to make them up like every time and do that. And then I was trying to just think, if I just sit here, can I actually come up with a load of names? And then I just found this filter. And it just looked like the sort of guy who would be like really nice. Also, like, you know, do you ever see like, you know, rugby lads? And like they're very like hench, so technically they're attractive, but they look fucking mad. And they get like really attractive girls, but like they look fucking mad. So that was the whole idea I wanted to go for, but real mannerly sort of thing. So just combined with all that, and then also a posh guy I knew used to call Coke cans soft drinks, and I just thought that was fucking hilarious.
Would you ever do one about minerals? Would that be going to get a mineral?
Mineral.
We'll get the bottle to score.
Maybe a cheeky collabo in the future.
Oh yeah, man. So with the Snapchat, you kind of got a series going with balls.ie.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so I did this thing. Still doing it called Pixel Perfect. So it's like video game kind of thing.
Yeah.
Had Owen Colgan from Hardy Books on. Very very funny man. It's kind of like I kind of wanted to do really nerdy things. Really like I thought I'd come back and like I feel like no one's really doing really nerdy things, like very nerdy niche-y kind of comedy things. So
in Ireland.
Not a huge amount, you know, for like people just playing video games and just talking shit. just sort of found me friends of mine who I'd done actually friends of mine who did with a comedy group called Glickbait.
Glickbait.
Yeah, great name, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had another group called Chap's Eye.
Oh, not a good name.
You don't like that one. I confirm.
It's a bit problematic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it tends to be. But I did a video with them, which funnily enough turns out to be the one that people shout at me the most. I did a video with them where like I'm a guy who like isn't really in on the joke and is trying to one-up people's stories. Yeah. So like I was trying to one-up someone's stories where I'm talking about how I walked in about my parents having sex. And then the closing line of that is, you know, so I wanted to fuck my mom. And that's like the joke in the thing. But that turns out to be the thing that people shout at me the most on the streets. And after we did the Cork Comedy Festival, we were, you know, the little tea room, you know, in Cork. And I was just, like, literally just eating, like, a little BLT. And some chap just shouting, I wanted to fuck my mom. I wanted to fuck my mom, Tony. And then just, I had to leave.
Yeah. They're looking at you going, what's this man?
Yeah. Why would these things be connected? With him.
You need to get a new catchphrase.
I know, yeah. Yeah.
So what are you going to do, like solo shows or what's happening?
Yeah, I did one in London and it went quite well. It was kind of like a bit of a multimedia thing. So I was kind of like doing characters live, doing a kind of multimedia thing. And then I kind of like talk, like, you know, kind of like a TED talk, something like that. But I'd like to make it a bit weirder. Like, I'd like to, like, you know, get fucking puppets and shit involved. Maybe turn some of the characters into puppets, like little French lad. I'd love to turn him into a puppet. And he'd just be like a real, like, because he could get real, like, you know, hey, what the fuck, you don't give me your fucking wallet, you know? And just do that to, like, people in the crowd.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool.
So I'm hoping to do that in the future, yeah.
What do you feel you're most knowledgeable about? I feel I'm the most knowledgeable at Stoats.
Yeah. Well, actually, do you know what? I wanted to bring this up when you were mentioning Stoats, okay? So have you heard about this kind of, like, badger conspiracy?
Did they kill Princess Diana? Is that?
Yeah, like two of them, like on their shoulders with their trench coat driving.
She
the car.
Was too popular.
Send in the badges.
So, no, tell me about the badger conspiracy.
So apparently, okay, I went deep on the web, not the dark web. Didn't go that deep, but I went deep on the web.
How'd you get on the dark web?
You have to download a browser. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
really, head shops, dark web. No, so the badger conspiracy apparently is, I went deep on the web and it said this thing that, so apparently farmland and the whole agricultural complex, you know, the whole thing, like most of the greenhouse gases come from farming and cows and all that stuff. And
yeah.
So as the farms grow out, the natural habitats that they destroy are primarily badgers. And so the whole idea that badgers are ferocious come from these lobbyists against badgers so that we feel no sympathy for the fact that these farms grow out and out and out and out. So apparently you don't need to walk around fucking St. Anne's with a stick breaking it if you think there's a badger nearby. They won't touch you. So it's like they've been, you know, libeled.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like big farm.
Yeah. Big Pharma is opposed to the badgers.
That sounds like a great band. Big Pharma's. would you ever do like a reality TV show?
No, like I'm a very weak person. And like if I'm put in some sort of pressure situation, like if I was in Big Brother and they were like, you need to vote on who's the most attractive, I would just fucking hop over the wall. Or cry or something. So I need to be like, I'm very shy when I'm not like being referred to, like I need to be introduced by someone to feel like I can be for me to start a conversation with someone. I like socially, I get a bit shy.
You're like a vampire. You know the way vampires can't enter a house unless they're invited.
That's
in?
That's me. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like standing there. You can't enter a conversation.
Yeah. I'm just there like foaming blood. Hello. Hi. Yeah. I am quite charming. Yeah.
Vampires are very into manners, like when you think about it.
Yeah, they are. Well, they always have those little frilly cuffs, don't they? No matter what season.
If you now had to choose between being a vampire, being a werewolf.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Go on.
And a third option now. A zombie. You're dead. Why would you want to be a zombie? You're gonna eat your family. Like, that's what zombies... Only you. Sorry for giving out, actually. Very good.
Yeah. Can I have another one, please? Shut up.
I'm very sorry. You were only trying to help. And I was like, no! Get back with your zombie talk. So what would you pick?
I've always wanted to be sexy. So I think a vampire would fill that. But I'm obsessed with the movie Teen Wolf. Like, I fucking love Teen Wolf. So if it was that level... Have you seen Teen Wolf?
No.
Michael J. Fox plays a teen wolf.
Oh.
But like he's in high school, so then, but he's also like quite handsome. So when he becomes the wolf, like he's still in full control of himself, but he can jump higher. He has more hair, and he can like intimidate people.
But is he still attractive? Like, would you ride Teen Wolf?
Well, I my top like three childhood crushes are all like Disney animal characters.
Really?
Like Maid Marian, from Robin Hood.
I can see that.
You're one who was in Sonic the Hedgehog, the TV show. Who else? The snake from the Jungle Book for some reason. That whole trust in me thing, fucking, I didn't know how to handle that. And I think, I'm pretty sure it was a guy, but it don't matter.
Yeah, like that's the
way. He's not even furry, I shouldn't even said that. But that's my vibe anyway.
That's your vibe.
So yeah, I would kind of like want to go down the werewolf route. I'd love to be more cuddly, but also ferocious and jump better. What about yourself?
What about myself? What would I go for? Not a zombie. For reasons that I'm...
Your bra would be cutting you in half right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting stabbed by like a stake, and it's my own bra. It's like, oh. With the wolf situation, are we talking like if it was Buffy the Vampire? Remember Oz?
Oh yeah.
Out of Buffy the Vampire, Seth Green played him. Yeah, I'd pick that situation because it's like once a month that I just go a bit mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm used to anyway. you know,
And but this way, no one's actually allowed to say anything. with the wolf, it's all like you were a wolf last night. But this way, it's like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, you can. Be like, it's my body, okay? I've been cursed for this, right?
Yeah.
If you were a fucking werewolf, you'd be angry at him once a month too. if you felt what I felt, mate, this is a werewolf of a hot water bottle. Just like, you've no idea. You never will.
If this was you, they'd have a national day.
Yeah, I know. You'd probably call it man werewolf or something like that. It doesn't exist. It doesn't. When was the last time you were sick?
So I don't get sick. Well, I don't. So my girlfriend finds it very funny because I don't really feel anything. Like, I don't feel... I don't really feel emotionally the present, but no, I don't actually feel anything. But like recently, since I've been with my girlfriend, like I've been eating a bit better, and as a result of that, I then feel sick when I feel sick. But beforehand, I was just feeling shit constantly.
Yeah, like a baseline
of shit. But now I'm like, I don't actually feel very good. Yeah. And even based on my diet now, like I eat like you know a baked potato, and I'm like, I'm in a bit of a bad mood now.
Really?
Because of carbs. Like I get emotional after carbs.
I get very tired after carbs, or I ate ribs today and chicken wings, which is a combo of meat. That it's just too much meat.
Get it in there, a great big melting pot of all the meats.
Would you ever eat like a bowl of chicken wings, and then you look at how many wings are there, and you think of how many chickens have died?
Yes, I do.
For that bowl.
Yes, I do.
And you're like, you know, it's tasty, because it's covered in Rick's sauce, but there's been a massacre. You know what I mean? Make every massacre better, like Rick sauce. I should get into advertising and do that for them. Rick sauce even makes a massacre good.
Well, how many? Okay, so picture the situation, right?
Yeah.
You're in your school hall from school, right?
Yeah.
You're there.
Is someone gonna go postal? Am I gonna escape? Sorry.
Well, possibly. Right. You're in your school hall, right?
Yeah.
One chicken.
How old am I?
You're you now, right?
Oh,
but just picture the school hall, because that's the confined space that you're going to be in, okay?
Okay, yeah.
One chicken comes in, okay? 2 minutes later, another chicken comes in.
Yeah.
And every 2 minutes, chickens keep coming in, attacking you to fight you to the death.
Okay.
How many chickens do you think you could realistically kill before they took you out?
Okay. And the chickens are chicken-sized?
They're chicken-sized chickens, yeah.
Okay. What kind of shoes am I wearing?
You can come prepared. You can come with stilettos. That's what I don't think that's going to work.
I'll get the building boots.
Yeah. Just smash it. Eventually you're going to get tired. You know.
I will get tired. That's very true. Okay, 4 hours. No, I'm not that fit. 45 minutes, I would say. And how many chickens?
Well, that would be 22, 23 chickens.
How long? You see, the problem is, and this is how I feel about zombie apocalypses as well, is, you know, it's great to survive, but how long do you survive for, and what for? Do you know, like, if I'm just in my school for 14 days, no one's helping me. Like, what's happened outside that there's all these chickens? Yeah. Like, do I really want to live? If this is happening in here, yeah, where are my family? What's happened to them?
Do you want to play a game? Chickens, keep sending chickens in. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Keep sending chickens in. La 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 la.
We're gonna have a game of chicken. what about you? How long do you think you'd survive?
I think indefinitely. I think I could stamp them out and eat them for sustenance.
At the same time, just like rip them apart.
Yeah. Probably some vegetarians here. Probably
not. Yeah, this is not okay.
But yeah, no, I'm a chicken guy. Like, I'm a big. I used to eat exclusively fried chicken, and the chicken in London is just, there's chicken shops everywhere, and you buy, like, you know, a shitload of chicken for £2. Like, six wings and chips and a drink for, like, £2. So that was, like, my staple.
How come there's not a big chicken shop culture in Ireland?
I don't know. I feel like it's missing.
Yeah, and the breakfast roll never really made it big over there, did it?
No, it didn't. And the chicken filler roll never got a look in.
No. But yet we haven't taken on their ways. It's almost like we're different countries.
Weird.
different. take that, Derek Davis. Yeah.
But I was reading about the top five chicken, chicken wings. You know, everyone talks about Tribeca in Dublin.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Not blown away.
They use a weird basket for one. there's holes in the basket. All that sweet juice gone, yeah, wasted. you're just left with remnants. of a puddle that once was, and it's
once
gone.
Was.
What are you feeling? Okay, you've moved away from Dublin for mm-hmm. 7 years. Mm-hmm. What's changed the most? What were you like? Whoa, what's this?
Everyone seems really happy. I'm very like, well, I don't know. There's a lot more nice places to eat, but I haven't said that. I think everything's perspective. And when I was living here before I left, I hated Dublin, and I hated Ireland, and I just wanted to be somewhere else. I was just like so obsessed with like Friends and American TV and stuff that I always felt like I just
Friends
wanted to disappear.
Friends, the TV show.
Friends, the TV show. Yeah.
You're obsessed with Friends, the TV show.
Yeah, big
Who
stuff.
Was your favorite character of Friends? And I'll get back to the what's changed about Dublin in a minute.
No, I think this is more interesting. I just think Chandler is so funny, right?
That's my boyfriend's least favorite character.
Fuck off, yeah. Least.
It
no.
really is. He's passionate about it, I feel. Aren't you? He is. Like.
Why? Because he's a bit smug?
I think it's because he says that, like, he's. You can correct me if I'm wrong, chicken. that he's a vessel for jokes and not a character. Would that be correct? Yeah? And he's a bit. He says jokes.
He says jokes.
And
yeah.
He doesn't like that in a comedy. Like, that's not.
No, that's fair. I mean, that's not. I mean, because you think, like, what would Chandler do in this situation? Who knows? Tell a joke. Is that good story
Could
writing?
Could he be any more funny? What do you think of Ross as a person?
Say again.
What do you think of Ross?
I like Ross, and I like how crazy he got in the later seasons. But I think, I don't know, I think Chandler, I related to because he was like, you know, a kind of spoiled child of divorce like me.
I got divorced parents too!
Hey!
Amazing! So, when did it happen?
Okay, so. So, like, I was like 4 or 5, but it meant.
You were 4 or 5?
Yeah. So, it was good. Good
did
time.
Did you get that? No, it happened to me when I was a teenager, and
oh,
I got
fuck.
That. I got that sweet, sweet, fresh guilt. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I was like going to my mum, I smoke now. This is what I do. And she'd be like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to the strange old man's house to have a cigarette. and there's nothing you can do to stop me because dad's gone.
But well, we used to just be like, you know, all right, what are we having for dinner? You're having, you know, vegetables. Where's dad? Right, you can have McDonald's.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Was your dad around a lot?
Yeah, loads. And to be honest, it's something really I can be. They were always there, always present. I never had to ferry any messages around in between them.
Oh,
very,
mate.
Yeah, they were very above board.
Really?
Yeah, and they were very generous at Christmas. So, all good.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really, yeah.
You got the perfect divorce.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I was like Kofi Annan, so I was.
Oh, my God.
Constantly negotiating. I was like, person like a hostage negotiator for maintenance. I was like,
oh God.
Yeah. Oh, this will definitely keep in the podcast. I was good crack on this. I had a wonderful. Well, no, I didn't. But
now, do you think that inspired your sense of humor, or making you want to be attention
definitely.
Seeking?
Definitely. Like, yeah. Oh, when my parents used to row, right? I used to come in because I was like the oldest sentient one. I'd be like, gotta laugh.
Oh, no way.
Mom would be crying in the sitting room, like, Mom, you'd never guess what happened today. See, it ain't so bad, Mama. Smile.
Drop that fucking character.
Yeah. Who needs maintenance when you could have a laugh? You know?
Flickering light bulb.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah. No, I that's cool. I have an affinity with people that have divorced parents.
Yeah, yeah. But I had a pretty cushy. But still, thank you.
Oh, man. So you were 4 or 5. When I took the news, because it's like the only traumatic thing. I never like had a boyfriend at that stage. So I had watched soaps and like there was nothing that bad had ever happened in my life that I could go, oh, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as my mum goes, well, we're going to separate. I'm not sure, the writing was on the wall for 6 years, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just go, no, like that. I wasn't even that upset. I just wanted, like, yeah, I was like, remember. Mariah Carey is like, now's my time to shine. I was like a wailing widow going, oh, God. I don't believe in love anymore. Not you two. I thought you were for keeps. I actually had a good 2 days. And like the, do you know, I get to tell my friends as well. Do you know, it's like when you're 15, when you're 5 and you have like, this is my news. This is what happened this week. But then like when you're 15 and you're like, my parents are divorcing. And my friends are like, oh my God. Oh my God. Give her a fag.
That duvet of loads of free fags that you get when you tell people
sweet,
the news.
Sweet smoke. I've given up smoking, don't I?
Oh, so that's brilliant.
Yeah. I should ask you one last question before I go. What? What is love?
There's only one answer for that. Baby, don't hurt me.
One more. That wasn't good. Ooh, have you ever felt that your life was in danger, and how did you get out of it?
No, I'm sorry. No, I've been very safe, secure. I did get accosted by a ghost, and that was the scariest. We have a me and my brother both, so we have this in our old house. I'll ask you something after this, actually. In our old house, we were going upstairs. Like we both have this memory of like being the last one in the house and going upstairs. And I remember I was like closing the door from the sitting room, and it slammed shut. And I remember hearing the sound of like a load of chains that had been hit to the other side of the door.
No.
Like hit together, and then hit the ground. And then I was like, and then it was really silent. And I shouted up to my brother Andy, and I was like, Andy. And you know when you have someone who speaks too loud in your ear that it vibrates? I had someone go in my ear, Andy! Like right in my ear. And then I sprinted up the stairs. Now, Andy says the exact same thing happened to him. And we were like, no, that's my story. No, that's my story.
Oh
so when I was under the duvet, I did kind of feel like my life was in danger.
I don't like that ghost at all because...
It's no crack.
He sounds like a big sneer as well. He's just impersonating you.
Yeah!
Oh, geez. What are you scared? Auntie. What a bully of a ghost.
Yeah, I know.
What did you want to ask me, Anton?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think that ghosts haunt people or places?
Oh, I've never thought about it, but Jesus. People or places? It depends. Okay, I better go.
Fuck that noise. Fuck that noise.
Lads, I'm ending this.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Your
thank
time
you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
So that was Tony Capo there. Yeah, you may have noticed it stopped all of a sudden, and that's because I thought there was a ghost there, but there wasn't a ghost, but the mood had gone, and I didn't feel like doing the podcast anymore, so thank you so much for listening. I'm doing Manor Hamilton this Saturday, if you're around Manor Hamilton. The rest of my tour goes to the Out to Lunch Festival, which is in Belfast, and that's on at noon on the 24th of January. The 25th of January, I'm doing the Barrows in Clonakilty, and that's in the evening. The 9th of February, I'm doing the Set Theatre in Kilkenny. The 10th of February, I'm doing the Town Hall Theatre in Galway. That was in a smaller room and sold out. Now it's gone to a bigger room, so plenty of tickets left there. So if you missed out the first time getting tickets to see me in Galway, there are way more tickets available now. So catch that if you like. Then 2nd of March, I am down in Carlow. And the 9th of March, I'm in Thurles. And that's at the Source Arts Centre in Thurles. Today's show is brought to you by Sarah Garvey, Andrea Farrell. Bobby Ahern did the music and William Conway did the artwork. And here's another thing I'm doing, by the way. On the 28th of January, there's a thing called the 24-hour plays in the Abbey, and I'm going to be an actor in that, and I'm freaking delighted. So if you want to come along, catch a play in the Abbey, basically people have to write a play, act a play, rehearse it, you know, all that jazz within the space of about 24 hours. So it's a challenge, and it's supposed to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Other than that, I think I'll go because I think Tony was funny enough and I've not much to say. I've actually got vertigo at the moment. I do, actually. I do. Oh my God. I had the best time in Vicar Street last week. It was rammed, and it was rammed full of the soundest people in the world. I mean, the way the audience treated my support acts, which was Connor O'Toole, because poor Sophie got sick and Connor filled in the last minute and he killed it. He killed it. And Rufo Kelly Hunter, she murdered it as well. Like, she was, oh my God, I had tears in my eyes at the side of the stage watching those two people just kick the shit out of that gig. And the audience were brilliant. As soon as I heard them laugh at the support acts, I was like, this audience are going to be the best audience ever. And I was not wrong. And I was so sick, guys. I got an ear infection or ear virus. And it's murdering my balance. Like, I feel constantly sick all the time. But you made that night so fantastic. And thank you so much. I just wanted to say that before I leave. And yeah, hope you have a lovely day.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.